everyone. It's Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio. As always, I'm here to interview guests who have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. Today, our guest is Candy Barone, and she is all about helping you grow your business in really explosive ways, which is such a great metaphor for her dynamic personality. You guys are going to love Candy. She's just a ball of energy and wisdom, and she's fabulous. And we're going to cover a whole bunch of topics today, everything from differentiating yourself to managing client expectations, how to handle everything that's on your plate, and how to engage and connect your clients, all about helping you grow your practices. So let me give you a little background on Candy. Candy Barone is known as the pull no punches accountability powerhouse, and that is so her personality. And she's the CEO of You Empowered Strong. She's an executive trainer and coach, an international speaker, and Amazon best-selling author. She is a catalyst and change agent who works with the three E's, executives, entrepreneurs, and emerging leaders, to help bring them heart back to leadership while feeding the soul of the business. With nearly 20 years in corporate America, she is a master at building exceptional high-performing teams, maximizing and leveraging ROI, growing emerging leaders, and catapulting individuals to achieve explosive growth. And Candy, I don't know why this is not in your bio, but I also believe you are a Cubs fan. Am I right?
I am absolutely a diehard bleed blue Cubs fan through and through.
Yeah, so being from Chicago, that was like the sun was shining down on Chicago. It was like the best feeling. So thank you for supporting our Cubbies. Great. So thank you for being here, Candy. I'm so excited to have you with us today. I know you have such a huge range of information to share with us.
Well, thank you so much, Ellen. It is absolutely an honor and pleasure to be here. And as for my Cubbies or our Cubbies, I am still on a high that, you know, every video still brings me to tears and just gives me chills. So Just a pleasure to be here.
Hopefully we don't have to wait another 108 years.
Oh, good God.
Okay, so back to business. So, you know, especially with the markets being what they are, I mean, they've been volatile for years and all sorts of changes in our industry. So we have enough to deal with our businesses, but how can, as advisors, how can you adjust to the evolving needs and demands of your current clients and also your future clients?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we've seen a lot of turmoil, especially in some of the financial markets and, you know, just the demands on both a national and global level. And I think for most people, when they start to look at, you've got clients that have fears or they have uncertainty, even in light of things that just recently happened, right? And so how do you get connected to your clients at a deeper level? And some of that is really understanding, you know, the value of what you deliver, how you differentiate yourself, but also taking time to really dig deeper in terms of the fact finding and the information that you're gathering from clients to help them walk down, really being able to identify where some of those uncertainties are coming from, what, you know, they're connected to, where they might stem from. A lot of times we don't take the care and time to really dig into that space. We sort of make assumptions instead of asking the question. And so it's a great opportunity to ask a deeper level of questions with those clients as they're facing some of those uncertainties and the demands that are showing up.
So what would be a good, you know, a good question to ask to get a little deeper in that?
Yeah, one of the questions that might be, and some of it's really being able to be present, to listen to your client versus listening for the opportunity to respond. A lot of times we're ready to, you know, put our agenda out there. We're trying to figure out where we can position our different services and our products. Instead, really be present with your client to manage their energy. So if you can feel and react to how their body is responding, how their voice is changing, how their, you know, maybe a tone or an inflection, there's an opportunity to hit a pause button and say, can we stop for a minute? I noticed something changed in what you just said, or I noticed that that had just shifted a little bit. Help me understand what just went through your head, because I heard you say this, but I'm wondering if there's something else going on. And we as, you know, as advisors, people that are in that, you know, sales opportunity to really drive clients to solutions, sometimes we get fearful of asking the question that needs to be aired out on the table. And so it's managing that energy and reading the way they respond and taking them down that deeper dive, even though it might be uncomfortable, but doing it in a way that's going to serve, because sometimes they don't even know. And it's the opportunity to name that for them, because then you can connect your solutions and your services based on what they walk down that path in terms of where that's coming from in the first place.
And I can't imagine someone wouldn't feel more connected or heard by having someone say, help me understand this better. This is what I'm getting. Help me understand. You know, it seems like a really great way to have people really get that you are not, that you're paying attention at a really deep level. Because, so, you know, no one gets hurt anymore, it feels like.
Well, yeah, and I mean, most of the time it feels like, and I mean, think about it. I mean, especially financial advisors, one of the things we teach is, you know, don't go out and say, hey, I'm a financial advisor, because people shut down, right? They have a stigma around, oh, you're just going to try and sell me this. Oh, you're just going to try and sell me this. What if you went in and didn't sell at all? What if you went in to really understand? I mean, I have that even from a coaching perspective and training. People will say, well, what do you charge? I'm like, I don't even know if you're a fit for me. I don't even know what you're looking to accomplish. I don't even know where your pain points are. Instead of jumping the gun, and I know I came from the investment insurance industry, part of my 20 years in corporate, and we had our fact finder. And sometimes we get so hell-bent on completing the fact finder that we forget the opportunity to build a relationship. And if you can go in and give somebody that sense of feeling heard and feeling seen and feeling loved and valued, you've already created a differentiator for yourself, because now you're not just another financial advisor going in trying to push a product or a service.
Yeah, so what a great way to deal with the whole robo-advisor thing that's happening in our industry right now. A robo-advisor, an online investment platform, is not going to help someone feel loved, understood, and heard.
Right.
And, you know, it's not a word we tend to hear a lot in our industry, is love, but the truth is, you know, we do. Anyone who's been in this industry for a really long time and has a successful practice hopefully is working with clients that they love and their clients feel understood and heard by them. This is such a great reminder of, A, the importance of doing it, and in the technique for doing it. That's great. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And I might interject just a quick piece, because you may, something just showed up when you said that. You know, I know, even being in the industry, and I've had some female financial advisors even say, you know, people think I'm too emotional in this business. And I know that there's some men out there that they get very connected to their clients as well, and that loving your clients, right? And that's absolutely the opportunity to step into a space that creates a deeper and more powerful relationship. Because when you think about what you're delivering for that end client, I mean, you're protecting their family, you're helping them create a generational legacy of wealth and opportunity that carries on well past, you're protecting their investments and their assets. How do you not get personally connected to that? How do you not bring that emotion? A lot of times that's what you talk to people about when they're defining their what, why, and who. It's really around that. How do you make sure that you're connecting and then help your clients do the same? Because that's such a missed opportunity. If there was ever an industry that we should get a little emotional and bring some love, it's this space, because of what's delivered and what the outcome yields as a safety net for those that we're working with.
I just had a flashback when they used to have bumper stickers that said, like, I love my blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't it be great to have I love my financial advisor bumper stickers?
So I love it.
You mentioned to know your what, why, wow, who. So, like, how do advise, and how people, you know, if they hear, if you're at a party and like, hey, I'm a financial advisor, and they run the other direction. But so how do financial advisors stand out and differentiate themselves from the person down the street?
Yeah, and like I said, it starts with what I call the what, why, and who, right? And, you know, you ask anybody, whether it be a financial advisor or someone else, and a lot of times you're like, what is it you want to accomplish? And they're like, oh, I want to grow my business by 20%, or I want some other sort of tangible outcome that really is just the lagging effect of them creating their what. Because when I talk about your what, it really is around what do you want to impact, create, expand, influence. What is that imprint? What is that legacy? And when I say legacy, I'm not talking about what are you leaving on the way out of this world. I'm talking about what are you leaving in terms of how people experience you in every interaction, in every way that they engage with you. And so what is that living legacy? What is it you want to be doing every day that's creating that imprint, that influence, that expansion or creation or whatever that is? And then why does that matter to you? Because what changes in terms of how we introduce ourselves and how we present ourselves and show up and serve others, when we can connect our what and why, and we can say, this is what I'm really all about, this is my purpose in what I, and me being a financial advisor is just the vehicle for me to deliver that what. The what is not that you're a financial advisor. The what is, I'm looking to help people achieve this or expand this or create this or protect that or whatever your what is. And then why does that matter to you personally? Because your messaging changes when you connect those two pieces together. And then when you say, then who do I serve? Because I know there's a misnomer out there that says, well, I'm for everybody. I'm going to be the financial advisor for all. No. That's absolutely not true. You are not for everybody. And when you get really clear on who you're for, the people, the energy, the personality, the characteristics of the people that you're attracted to, the people that give you energy back, the people that you feel lifted and inspired by, then when you take the what and the why and you create that message and you deliver it to that who, you become, I like to tell people, I said, especially because we have so much online presence, right? And you're out there and someone's like, I'm a financial advisor. And it's kind of like the Charlie Brown teacher going, womp, 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 womp. You're in a sea of many, right? So this opportunity, when you connect to your what, why, and who, you end up becoming a lighthouse. You end up being able to be a beacon, a light, so that for those people that resonate with you, those people that deeply connect with you, they come and start to find you, and you find that they actually start closing you more than you have to close them, because they just know they have to be in space with you. They just know that you're going to be the person that's going to care for them and love them in that space. And so there's a lot of power in really understanding who am I when you take away the role of I'm a financial advisor, I'm this, and you put it in the context of what is it I really want to accomplish in this lifetime? Why does that matter to me? And who do I serve inside that space?
And it lands so much better. There's so much, internally in terms of running your business from that place, it's so much more rewarding and so much mm-hmm. more exciting, especially for advisors that have been doing this for a while, and things are changing right now. The regulations are getting mm-hmm. more complicated, and I don't think it's going to get any easier. And so I love what you're saying, because if you can get really in touch, not only from a marketing standpoint, which is so crucial to that, you know, your what, why, and who, but from your own internal motivation, that in of itself, I would imagine, would propel your business.
Well, absolutely, because think about the assumptions we put in our heads sometimes, right? We'll say, oh, I'm a financial advisor. Oh, they're not going to want to do business with me. Oh, I'm not as good as this person. And that whole comparison, we show up differently. When we are feeding our presence on this is, I know every morning I get to get up because this is what I get to do every day. This is why this fires me up. We show up differently. We show up purposely. We show up with intention, and we serve without hesitation. We serve without reservation and without judgment, and our impact and our influence becomes much greater. And so it allows us to get rid of some of that head chatter and other stuff that a lot of times holds us back. And I tell people a lot of times, leadership's a choice, right? It's a choice in how you choose to show up. It's a choice in how you choose to serve others. And it's a choice in how you take personal responsibility inside that space. And so when you are connected deeply to your what, why, and who, you choose to show up playing at your best and highest level. And who doesn't succeed and win in that space?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about some of the things that can keep you from staying in that space? You know, from your experience, what fears do you see get in the way for financial advisors showing up and playing at their highest and absolute best level?
Yeah, I would say that the fears that show up for financial advisors are kind of common fears that show up across the board. They just can be, they create the assumptions and kind of the head talk or the negative self-talk that we put out there. But typically the fears land in what I would say are four categories. One is the fear of being judged or criticized, or the fear of how we're comparing ourselves or competing against our perceived competition. And if you could have seen me right now, I did the air quotes around perceived competition, because I think that that's a misnomer. There is no competition, but we create this mentality that says I'm competing against X instead of I'm trying to be a better version of myself every day, and how do I continue to serve and show up in that space. So that's the first piece, is around that criticism, that competition, that judgment. The other fear is the fear of rejection. There are a lot of people that, even though they'll put on a great verbose kind of that modest space or confident space that says, yeah, I got this, I'm not afraid of calling. But if you really looked at their activity, I know a lot of financial advisors and reps that, you know, they talk a good game, but when you look at their dials, you look at their activity, you look at them reaching out and doing some cold calling and following up on referrals and leads and prospects, they're not making the calls. Their numbers aren't there. There's a reason that there's activity standards or expectations around how do you achieve greater success, because they've been measured, right? And they're not doing the dials because they're afraid of the no. There's also the fear of failure, which more times than not is the fear of success. What happens if I grow my business to the next level? I had a lot of financial advisors I worked with that really struggled with segmentation and delegating so that they could move their A plus A targets and clients to the next level, because there was a fear around, well, what does that mean for me? Now I'm going to have greater responsibility. I'm going to have to build my team bigger, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last piece is, and this is going to sound shocking because this is the industry you're in, but I've also seen financial advisors have a really big fear of money. And so they have a fear of money for themselves. Mm. And so sometimes it's hard to go deeper and ask the challenging questions, because it's a mirror that you don't want to look into yourself. And, you know, a lot of times we teach what we need to learn. I mean, coaches know that, right? I know more than my fair share of financial advisors, and when you really break it down, they have their own theories or their own stories around money, which is holding them back.
Wow, that's so interesting. I don't disagree with that. I haven't ever thought about it specifically for people in our industry. And I know that fear out there, you know, when we were talking before about, you know, what's going on with our clients, I know there's incredible financial worry. I gave a workshop this weekend and I asked the group there, I said, okay, who here sometimes has worries about money? And every single person except for one raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't it be the same for financial advisors? But what a really wonderful thing to do a deep dive in.
Right. And it's kind of that you spot it, you got it, right? So if you're seeing it in your client, there's usually an opportunity, regardless of if you're coaching. And by the way, financial advisors is just another level of coaching, right? I try and share that with people. I'm like, you're coaching people to make the best decisions that's going to support them, their family, create their livelihood they want, protect their assets. That's coaching. You're walking them through that. And so when you're in that space, a lot of times what you see in other people is the opportunity to go, huh, how am I doing in that space? Because I saw it, which means there's probably a little of that going on with me as well.
Mm. You spot it, you got it. I love that.
You spot it, you got it.
I may have to quote you on that and use it myself. So, okay, so say you're starting to spot it and got it, and maybe that's enough to get rid of it, but are there other, if you start to notice, like, oh, man, you know what, I am, like, avoiding picking up the phone, what's that about, or mm-hmm. or there is self-criticism, other advisors are better at this, or I should be good at this, what are some things that you can do to eliminate some of these excuses or the noise that's just playing around in our heads?
Yeah, I'll use the example of the fear of rejection for a minute. We are so afraid of the almighty no, right? Everybody's afraid someone's going to say no to them. And so it's an opportunity to hit the pause button to, first of all, say, what am I really afraid of? Is it that I'm afraid they're going to say no, or am I more afraid they're going to say yes? Because first of all, you actually need to make vet qualification, but then understand where your fear is coming from. So feel yourself through that emotion. But there's three things that I tell people to remind themselves of, that when you have that fear of fear of rejection show up and you're afraid of the no, first and foremost, realize that the confirmation of a no is the best gift you could ever receive. Because first of all, before you pick up the phone, it's a no before you even call. So you can't lose anything, because it's a no if you never ask. It's always, we start at no. So there's nothing to be lost in that space, but when you can get somebody a clear, confirmed, no, this is not for me, or no, this is not the right time, one, you can clarify, is it no for always, no right now, no for these reasons, and then come back to it later, but you stop wasting time, energy, and resources for people that are not for you. I always tell people, yes and no are complete sentences. If you can't get someone to give you a convicted, committed, clear yes, then their answer is no. Yeah, and maybe are not a yes. Yeah, and maybe are a cop-out, and I guarantee that's where you're going to have a client that either lapsed on their policy or they're going to pull out, you know, 6 months in because their fear bubbles up. If they're giving you a yeah or a maybe, that's an opportunity for you to explore where their hesitation's at, because if they can't give you a clear yes or no, something else is going on. The second thing is, you can't get a yes unless you ask. You will never get, very rarely does someone just pick up the phone and go, oh my gosh, can I hire you to be my financial advisor? I want to give you this much money. It happens, but that's not what normally happens. If you're not asking the question, you're never going to get the yes. And the other piece that I tell people, and this is a frame that I, in every single talk I give, I say this statement to people. I'm like, I want you to remember that you don't know who, you don't know how, and you don't know to what level you can affect, influence, or impact change for another person until you show up. And the challenge is, you have to show up. And by showing up, it means you got to ask the question. Because who are you not serving right now, or who are you taking their permission away because you're not even giving them the opportunity to respond to the question? Because think about yourself, right? How many times has someone asked you something in the moment and you're like, I didn't even think of that. Yes, I need that right now. And it wasn't even on your radar. And you wouldn't even have known about it until someone asked you the question. You have that same opportunity because you don't know. You can't make that decision for someone else. And you're taking away their permission when you try to.
There's probably even serving in getting the no from someone, or that if they're not the right person. This workshop I did this weekend, I had spoken at this place about a year and a half before, and I had a woman who probably had an hour interaction with a previous one, and she told me she's been thinking about that interaction for a year and a half, and it's totally changed the way that she's looking at asking for money in her business. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even coach people on asking for money in their business. That's not my area of expertise. So it wouldn't have, she's not necessarily a good prospect for my advisory practice, and yet, so it would be a no, and yet I've still made a difference that I didn't even know I made for her.
Right. Right, and you don't know that, right? We don't know that. And there's this great TED Talk that's out there called Lollipop Moments. I highly suggest, in fact, I make all my corporate people do it in training at 6 minutes. It's a guy named Drew Dudley from Canada, and he talks about those little moments that a lot of times they're not even things that we recognize, but we don't know that we could have changed somebody's life in such a profound and impactful way, that they're these little lollipop moments. And it's just, it so resonates with that message, because we don't know. We don't, that's not up to us to decide. But we got to show up first.
We got to show up. Good. Okay, so we have to show up, and we have to manage our staff, and we have to maybe do social media, and we have to keep up with clients, and we have to do all these things. So how do you juggle, you know, as an advisor, between all these things we have to deal with, and we want to be there, most of us, for our family or take care of ourselves physically. Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest in terms of creating greater balance and harmony in life?
Yeah, I have three strategies for time management in that space. First and foremost, stop using the language, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy, I'm swamped. Oh, my time, I just have no time. There's not enough hours in the day, because you're fulfilling that prophecy. Stop telling yourself you're so busy. Because you're so busy because you personally haven't learned how to say yes and no to the things that properly align to you. So you're not saying yes to the things that really serve for you to grow your business, not saying yes to the right revenue generators. You're not saying no to all the noise that's creeping in. So first and foremost, stop that language and change it versus, because we walk around, we're a culture that complains and commiserates versus connecting and communicating. And we walk around going, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, my life sucks so much. And honestly, our gauge of success has become who can outsuck who, which is ridiculous. Think about it. That's what we do, right? No, my life sucks worse. No, I'm busier than you are. I must be more important. No, you're crazy. And you need to stop that behavior and stop telling yourself, I have to do this. I need to do this. I should do this. I got to do this. And change that frame to realize you get to do this. Every single thing that's showing up on your calendar, every choice you make, you get to do this. You get to build this business. You get to serve your team. You get to serve your kids and your family and your community. You get to make the choices and not play victim to those decisions that you make. So it's an opportunity to own that and take responsibility in that space, first and foremost. The second thing, and this is going to sound counter, actually I'm going to give you the second thing and I'm going to give you the third one that's counterintuitive. Create power blocks for yourself. We get so distracted and we have this myth that says, oh, I'm the best multitasker. No, you're really good at switch tasking and not being present in any one given activity. It has absolutely been proven time and time again scientifically that it is impossible for the human brain to focus on two things at once. Now, people will argue and say, but I can walk and talk. Yep, both automated responses. You are not present in either, which is why we vomit all over ourselves sometimes with what we say, or we trip over thin air. We are not being present and mindful. So we're not, it's just an automated response. If you create dedicated power blocks that allow you to either make your dials or fill out your cases for your, you know, the underwriters that you need to get in, or whatever you're doing, create those power blocks, you will find you get far more done in that power block than when you're trying to switch tasks and manage all these plates at the same time. And then the third piece, and this one people are gonna balk at, but it's to create your calendar with what fills you up first, then your big rocks or priorities, and then all the other stuff afterwards. Start carving out the beginning and end of your day to honor your sacred self space. You have to be self-full in order to serve other people. It's not selfish. Selfish says I'm doing this in spite of others. Self-full says I'm filling my cup to serve others. And if you do not have dedicated time every day, particularly to start and end your day, replenishing, recharging, being still, playing, you will never have a calendar that works for you.
Wow, great. Okay. That's beautiful. Great, I get to do this. I just crossed off, I'm so busy. I try not to say that, but I know I do sometimes. So, okay, so let's talk a bit about emotional engagement. So we started this conversation with how important it is to build relationships to, you know, at a deep level, love and connect with your clients, love on them. So talk. Let's talk a bit more about how to actually do that. How do you connect at a deeper level?
I would say first and foremost, and this, again, is a space where a lot of fear comes from because it ties back to that being criticized and judged, is allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I know even when I was in the industry and even when I was, you know, carrying the bag and doing some different things, you know, you put on this front that says, I've got it all covered. I got my stuff together. Nothing ever goes wrong in my life. I'm a professional. I'm an expert. But we all have a life. We all are human. We all have those things that show up. And when you are in a space where something really is an opportunity to share an experience that is similar to what your client's talking about, or to let them see a little bit of the underbelly of what's going on in your world and show them that open vulnerability, it's such a way. And in fact, I mean, I give people the example. I was you know, selling for Johnson Controls at the time. I was an account exec, and I went out and I was pretty tough. You know, I went out and did what I had to do and worked in a pretty strong environment. And I had a really tough client, and it was one of those where I had to go out for surgery, and it wasn't until I told him exactly what I was going out for surgery, which was something in my mind was embarrassing and a bit vulnerable, he broke down and started crying when I shared that with him because it was the very thing that saved his wife's life. Mm. And the fact that, because I got tired of putting up the mask and the guard, and it was more out of frustration than out of being openly vulnerable, but it was such an eye-opening moment for me. Because this person who was tougher than nails, kicked 4 reps out of the account before me, still had a spot in his heart that, you know, things, he's got things going on in his life. And just because I shared what was going on for me, it changed the way we connected in our relationship forever, because it was something that bonded us. And we realize, and we don't, because we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable, realize how many missed opportunities there are to create that thread or to create that way to go deeper in our relationships. And so I challenge and invite people to really kind of open up and let their vulnerability be more exposed, be more front and center. And that, truthfully, that's the only place you can offer love anyway. But it's that space to say, I'm human too, and it's okay. It's that giving yourself permission.
It's great, and I'm thinking of you, who I am getting to know better. We've had experience of each other in person at a couple of different meetings, and for those of you listening, you can tell Candy has incredible passion and excitement, and she's got this like beautiful, tough softness to her, but there's like this, you know, this kind of driver personality. So I totally get how you can be strong and also soft in a situation. And I'm not just talking to the women out there, you guys. Like, it's for all of us. So it's a beautiful example there, Candy.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So so as you guys can tell, Candy is a wealth of information. I've seen her speak. She's a fabulous presenter, if you can't tell just from the way she's shared information with you today. So, Candy, if people want to find you, where should they go?
Yeah, the best space is going to be through my website. It's CandyBaroneInternational.com. So it's all spelled out. It's Candy, C-A-N-D-Y, Barone, B as in boy, A-R-O-N-E, and then international spelled out.com. You can also find me on social media. I'm very active on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Yeah, Candy has some great Facebook Live things, and she's terrific. So follow her. Go find her, everyone. Candy Barone, thank you again. This was great, great, great information. I took tons of notes, and I'm going to go look at that Lollipop Moments TEDx talk, and I'm going to quote you when I say, you spot it, you got it. So thank you, Candy.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. This was such a pleasure. And, you know, we get to spend some time getting to know each other, and it's just been such an honor sharing space with you. So thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for being here. And all of you listening, thank you for being here with us. Remember, you can find all the Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio shows on SoundCloud, on iTunes, on Stitcher. Subscribe to us. Listen while you're doing a thing that feeds your soul ahead of time, so maybe you're out there running or exercising or on your drive to work. We love having you here. Keep in touch. Let us know what you want to hear more of and what you think of the shows. And again, I'm Ellen Rogan. If you want more prosperity and success tips, you can find them on my website, which is ellenrogan.com. That's ellenrogin.com. And until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. And remember, be great and create great every single day.